When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Barbell Medicine Podcast. I'm Dr. Jordan Feigenbaum. Hope you've had a great week so far. I wanted to do a sort of primer about cortisol in preparation for our next podcast, which is all about what happens when cortisol levels are too high. Now, there's a lot of material to cover on cortisol, and we didn't want to overload our audience with information. So in this podcast, I'll be talking about the normal physiology of cortisol and take a deep dive into how it's affected with dieting. But before we get into that, I have a few announcements. First up, as I've been plugging the last few weeks, we have recently published a number of free resources that you may find helpful. On our resources page, we release calculators to help you determine target daily calories, macronutrients, heart rate zones for conditioning, one rep maxes using RPE, and more. We've also included our top articles and videos on training, nutrition, and pain as a sort of barbell medicine's greatest hits. I've linked that page in the show notes below, but you can also get there by heading to our website, barbellmedicine.com, clicking on About Us, and then Resources. Second, our Android app is live in the Google Play Store. It's free to download and use, so if you're an Android-using Barbell Medicine fan, go check it out. Finally, our pain and rehab team has a two-day in-person seminar scheduled for next month. That's October in Atlanta, Georgia. It's approved for CEUs for physical therapists, and personal trainers can likely use this seminar for continuing education as well. Okay, let's get into the meat of this podcast. First up, what is cortisol? Cortisol is a steroid hormone, and in humans, steroid hormones are made in specialized tissues like the adrenals, the gonads, and the placenta. All steroid hormones are derived from cholesterol and are fat-soluble, allowing them to easily cross into a cell, bind to its receptor, and cause an effect, typically through altering gene transcription and the subsequent proteins that the cell is making. Now, cortisol is manufactured primarily in the adrenal gland, which is a small organ sitting on top of the kidneys. The adrenal gland has a central area called the medulla, which produces hormones like adrenaline and noradrenaline, also a little bit of dopamine. But adrenaline and noradrenaline are involved in the fight or flight response. Now, the outside part of the adrenal gland is called the cortex, which is broken up into three distinct layers or zones. The outer is called the zona glomerulosa, where aldosterone is produced. That's mostly for water and salt regulation. The middle zone is called the zona fasciculata, and that's where cortisol is produced. The inner layer is called the zona reticulata, and that's where sex steroids are made. Now, med students make up mnemonics for how to remember this, the anatomy and the physiology going on here. The one that I used was go find Rex, make good sex. Go, standing for glomerulosa on the outside. Find for fasciculata in the middle. Again, that's where cortisol is produced. And Rex for reticulata on the inside. That's go find Rex. And then make good sex refers to mineralocorticoids, glucocorticoids, and sex steroids. I never said that med students were particularly bright when they came up with these mnemonics, but I still remember to this day, so maybe we're smarter than we think. Now, cortisol is the most clinically important glucocorticoid. It accounts for about 95% of all glucocorticoid activity in the human body. Cortisol and its derivatives are known as glucocorticoids due to their function of stimulating gluconeogenesis, which means making new sugar or glucose. But it also has wide-reaching effects across the body, including helping regulate blood pressure, inflammation, immune system function, and more. We'll talk about some more of cortisol's functions in a few minutes, but before we do, I want to fire up the DeLorean and take a trip back through time to cortisol's discovery. Now, the year is 1941, and America, who is on the verge of entering World War II, sets three priorities for scientific research. Number three was to develop medications to prevent and treat malaria. Number two was to continue research and development on penicillin, which was discovered in the 1920s. And number one was to isolate and figure out how to produce a new hormone or substance called cortin. Now, cortin was the name given to the presumed active component of adrenal gland extract that had been made from cow adrenal glands obtained from a nearby meatpacking facility to the Mayo Clinic in the late 1920s. Now, this extract was used to treat a number of patients with Addison's disease, which is a condition where there's not enough cortisol in the body to function normally. Then they ran out of extract and they needed a better way of making the so-called Cortin. Now, in the 1930s, American intelligence had reported that the Nazis were importing large quantities of cow adrenal glands to produce extracts for military use, based on the theory that if animals who had their adrenal glands removed, well, if they succumbed quickly to stress, adding more adrenals, this time in the form of an extract, well, that may be protective for the German pilots so that they could tolerate a lack of oxygen and fly at high altitudes. Now, from there, the race was on to isolate and find Cortin. Researchers came up with a number of different compounds that could be Cortin, and they labeled them A through F. Finally, in the early 1940s, two men, Dr. Philip Hench and Dr. Edward Kendall, successfully showed that compound E reversed the inflammation of a patient with rheumatoid arthritis. Compound E, of course, was cortisone, and Dr. Hench and Kendall won the Nobel Prize in Medicine and Physiology in 1950. Now, when we come back from this break, we'll cover the normal physiology of cortisol, as well as what happens to it when people diet. Hey guys, it's Jordan with Barbell Medicine. I wanted to take a second to talk about our new podcast sponsor, Mint Mobile. With big wireless providers, what you see is never what you get. Somewhere between the store and your first month's bill, the price you thought you were paying magically skyrockets. With Mint Mobile, you'll never have to worry about gotchas ever again, because when they say $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, they mean it. There's no surprise monthly bills and unexpected overages. They have premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. And all plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all of your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3 month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/BBM. That's mintmobile.com/BBM. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/BBM. $45 upfront payment required, that's equivalent to $15 a month, and this is limited to new customers on a first 3 month plan only. Speeds are slower above 40 gigabytes on the unlimited plan, and additional taxes, fees, and restrictions may apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The physiological regulation of cortisol all starts with stress. We all know that stress is a constant factor in modern life, though stress in one form or another has been part of our entire existence. Now, whether the stress is physical or psychological, real or perceived, the normal stress response sets off a cascade of different systems in the body to deal with the challenge. With respect to cortisol, an increase in stress triggers the hypothalamus to get the party started. Now, the hypothalamus is a small structure in the brain that receives information from pretty much everywhere else in the body, and when it gets the message that the body is under stress, it pumps out a hormone called corticotropin-releasing hormone, or CRH. Now, this hormone travels to the front of the pituitary gland, the so-called anterior pituitary gland, which is also in the brain, and it tells it to release another hormone, this one called ACTH, which stands for adrenocorticotropic hormone, which travels to the, you guessed it, adrenal gland, and bada bing, bada boom, it starts producing hormones too, this time cortisol. Now, cortisol helps the body to do a lot of things that should help with stress, interacting with almost every tissue that we have. Now, in the short term, a stress like exercise will increase cortisol, and its main function is to provide energy to the body. For this, cortisol mainly targets the liver, the pancreas, and both muscle and fat tissues, and tells them to make more energy available. In the liver, for example, cortisol increases the breakdown and release of stored carbohydrates, that is glycogen, by a process known as glycogenolysis. It also tells the liver to make more carbohydrates, which is a process known as gluconeogenesis. The story is the same in other tissues. In the adipose or fat tissue, cortisol signals an increased breakdown in fat for fuel. And in the muscle, proteins are broken down for energy use. And in the pancreas, hormones relating to even more energy creation are released under the influence of cortisol. Now, cortisol does a whole lot more too. And like I said, it pretty much affects every organ and tissue in the body in one way or another. For example, cortisol helps maintain a normal blood pressure, whereas low blood pressure or hypotension happens in about 90% of patients with insufficient cortisol. It's also involved in regulating blood sugar, blood clotting, immune system function, bone metabolism, and much, much more. Now, we'll dive into what happens when there's too much or too little cortisol in the next two podcasts, but for now, just appreciate that the right amount of cortisol is essential for normal function, and it's involved with pretty much everything in the body. Okay, so now that cortisol levels are up, how do they come back down? Well, increased cortisol levels return to basal levels by feedback inhibition, where the hypothalamus, the prefrontal cortex of the brain, and even other areas get the signal that the stress is gone and/or has been adequately dealt with. Therefore, the cascade stops going. The elevated levels of cortisol in the body tamp down further production once it's sufficient, and all told, both reduced stress signaling and elevated cortisol levels themselves tend to reduce the production of corticotropin-releasing hormone, that's CRH from the hypothalamus, and adrenocorticotropic hormone, or ACTH, from the pituitary gland. Now, cortisol levels change throughout the day, having both a circadian and ultradian rhythm. For the circadian rhythm, cortisol is highest in the morning for most people around 8 a.m., and then it decreases to its lowest point right around bedtime, somewhere close to 10 p.m. The ultradian rhythm is layered on top of this, where there are 8 to 10 pulsatile peaks of cortisol over the course of a day, mostly for fine-tuning the actions of cortisol because it influences, like I said, pretty much every tissue and every organ that we have in the body. This has implications for testing cortisol, and we're going to cover all of that in the next podcast. But needless to say, just taking a random cortisol tends not to be that useful. And as we'll see when we talk about this on the next podcast, even a single reading of cortisol is not always telling you what's going on. Okay, so now that you know the history of cortisol, how it's made, and what it can do, let's talk about what happens to cortisol when people are in a calorie deficit. Now, most of the nutrition science field views dietary restriction, especially calorie restriction, as a stress on the body, which may have implications on hunger, weight loss trajectory, body composition, and more. Some think that cortisol increases may be proportional to the amount of restriction. Therefore, larger deficits cause a greater increase in cortisol than more moderate deficits. Overall, the central paradigm here is that cortisol is one of the counter-regulatory responses to low energy availability, whether it's a few hundred calories or frank starvation. In support of this, a number of studies on individuals with anorexia nervosa show remarkably consistent results. There's a big increase in cortisol with this condition. Now, it should be noted that elevated cortisol levels with anorexia nervosa are not nearly as high as what we see in Cushing's disease, like the case we had last episode where the patient had an ACTH-producing tumor that made him produce way too much cortisol. Interestingly, individuals with anorexia nervosa obviously have low levels of body fat and low or normal blood pressure, whereas individuals with Cushing's disease tend to have high levels of body fat and high blood pressure. Both have high levels of cortisol, but from different mechanisms. Clear as mud, right? Let's go a little bit deeper and see if we can't uncover some more information about cortisol and the diet. Starting with fasting, the data is overwhelmingly clear that fasting increases cortisol levels while the fast is going on, typically increasing until the fast is broken. This is primarily related to energy availability. Outside of fasting, diets are not so clear. A recent meta-analysis of studies that measured cortisol levels while people were dieting showed no association between the size of the energy deficit and subsequent cortisol levels. Nearly all diets that produced a calorie deficit, small or large, showed an initial increase in cortisol levels for the first few weeks, and that tended to go back down to baseline in a few weeks, even if the diet persisted. Very low-calorie diets did not have significantly higher cortisol levels than more modest deficits, and there was no association between weight loss and cortisol levels in the 10 studies included. Another study of 22 healthy adults looked at what happened to cortisol levels after 10 days of overfeeding and then, 2 weeks later, 10 days of fasting. In this study, participants were initially admitted for a 10-day high-calorie visit with the aim of achieving about a 7% weight gain based on body weight. Now, intake was strictly controlled as patients were admitted to a research facility, so you kind of knew what they were eating. And after completion of the high-calorie protocol, subjects were discharged home to resume their normal diet for just over 2 weeks. Subjects were then admitted for a second time where they didn't consume any calories for 10 days, but they could drink water and they took a multivitamin daily. During the 10-day high-calorie protocol, subjects gained an average of 4.6% of their starting body weight. And then during the 10-day fast, subjects lost an average of 8.9% of their initial body weight. In both 10-day periods, however, cortisol increased significantly from baseline, though the size of the increase was about the same between overfeeding and underfeeding. Of course, there was a wide range of variability between individuals and their own cortisol levels, and also the amount of weight lost or gained in the two different periods. But importantly, the change in weight, and the baseline body fat measured by DEXA, and also inflammatory markers, well, none of these things reliably correlated with cortisol changes. Now, I already mentioned that a meta-analysis of 10 studies didn't find a connection between cortisol levels changing and subsequent weight loss, but there is a bit of nuance here. To start, there seems to be a U-shaped relationship between cortisol levels and body mass index, or BMI, with the bottom of the U, or the lowest level of cortisol, seeming to be right around a BMI of 25, which is the cut point from normal to overweight based on body mass index. Now, those with underweight and those with obesity both have significantly higher cortisol levels on average. Now, the fact that the bottom of the U is right at that cut point between a normal BMI and overweight BMI, well, I view that as an artifact of the data set, where those with very low BMIs tend to be sick and thus have higher cortisol levels as a result, and those with excess body fat also tend to have higher cortisol levels as a function of the excess adiposity and potentially other medical conditions that they have. So the middle of the U is skewed a bit higher, in my opinion, but I don't think that there's good evidence showing that a higher BMI necessarily improves health outcomes in an individual, and certainly not via a lower cortisol level. Now, increased long-term cortisol levels, as measured by scalp hair, are strongly correlated to abdominal obesity, though I should be clear, not all individuals with obesity have elevated cortisol levels, period. Possibly, the inter-individual variation in cortisol sensitivity, which is partly genetically determined, may lead to higher vulnerability to certain food environments, mental or physical stressors, or even the response to different amounts of foods. Now, in individuals undergoing metabolic or bariatric surgery for weight loss, those with a higher pre-surgery morning cortisol level showed an increased tendency to regain more than 10% of the weight lost compared to those with lower but still normal morning cortisol levels prior to surgery. In this study, it seems like the cortisol levels that the patients had prior to obtaining the surgery seemed to predict how they would do after having the surgery. Now, in those participating in a lifestyle-based weight loss, that is, diet and exercise alone, cortisol levels don't seem to be predictive of their results. In the know-how trial, about 800 adults achieved successful weight loss greater than 5% of their starting body weight. Hair cortisol concentrations were measured at baseline before the weight loss and after 12 months, and there was no significant relationship between hair cortisol levels and weight loss success or body composition. So overall, the relationship between cortisol and weight management does not appear to be as simple as advertised. While preoperative cortisol levels may predict the tendency to regain weight from metabolic surgery, cortisol levels don't seem to reliably predict or relate to lifestyle-based weight loss. We don't really have any data on what the GLP-1 agonists like semaglutide or other anti-obesity medications do with respect to cortisol, or if cortisol predicts how people respond to them, so we'll just have to wait for that data to come out. The main point here is that both excess and insufficient dietary intake, as measured by body fat, seems to increase cortisol levels. Excess body fat appears to activate the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis and pump out cortisol, perhaps increasing the risk of adiposity when presented with excess calories compared to a lean individual. And on the other side, insufficient body fat does the same thing with respect to cortisol, though its function results in decreased bone mineral density and muscle breakdown, again, to provide energy to the individual. Still, modest to large energy deficits that reduce body fat to a normal, healthy level do not seem to do much with respect to cortisol, though individual cortisol responses vary and appear to play a role in both appetite and satiety. All right, that's it for this episode of the Barbell Medicine Podcast. If you like this episode, please share with a friend and leave us a 5-star review. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch you next time right here on the Barbell Medicine Podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.